everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's June 2019, and you're listening to episode 128, Summer Vacation, Kids, and Video Games, Better Alternatives to Fortnite. On this episode, I'm joined by Drew Dixon, who is the lead editor for Explore the Bible Students at Lifeway Christian Resources. He is also director of content for Love Thy Nerd, a ministry dedicated to bringing the hope of Christ to nerds and nerd culture. Andrew has also written extensively about video games and the Christian worldview for many online publications. Drew has written an online exclusive article that is available free at our website, equip.org, and it's called Summer Vacation, Kids, and Video Games, Better Alternatives to Fortnite. Drew, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm sure there are a lot of parents out there wondering about the video game Fortnite, and actually it was started in about summer 2017, so 2 years ago, and right now it has 250 million active players, and I was reading some stats about it last week, and it said that 82% of those players are under the age of 35, and even though the game is technically free, but you can buy some in-game items that we'll talk about later, last year they had $2.4 billion in revenue. And it's interesting that players are using more and more of their free time to be on Fortnite, not just to play the game, but actually as a destination for social media. And I think they've even had like concerts of well-known pop artists that are doing some content right into Fortnite itself. So a lot of parents might know about Fortnite, or maybe they've just heard their kids talk about Fortnite. But for everybody who's not familiar with that video game, why is it so popular?
I think there's a few reasons. One is that it's free to play. So you don't have to spend any money to play it. So anybody can play it. It's really accessible. I think they've also capitalized on a genre of games that's really popular right now. So Fortnite is this kind of open world game where you're all on massively multiplayer game on this, you know, where you're playing with like 50, 60 people in one game and you're all on one map. And this genre is called Battle Royale. And so, and, you know, you could have as many as, I said 50 to 60. I think you can have as many as 100 players on one map. And so you all are on this map and you have to search for supplies and build bases, and the map gets smaller and smaller. So it doesn't actually get smaller. Let me explain. Like it forces you into the center or into one spot so that you have to keep moving. If you don't keep moving and you don't get out of the zone where you're not supposed to be and you don't keep moving to the center, you'll die. And so everybody kind of gets forced in the middle, and it's a shooter. So it's whoever is sort of the last person standing wins, right? And you can play teams. There's team modes too, where you have a team and it's the last team standing, you know, small team of players. So it's really that type of game is really popular. So Fortnite made it free. So it's free. They've capitalized on a game mode that's popular. And then also, they've chosen like a color scheme and kind of look and feel to the game that feels very welcoming. It's not this, like there's been other battle royale games, but they're like kind of gritty, like zombie type games or survival or very like, you know, realistic military shooter. This one has a playful cartoon, almost like cartoonish vibe to it. That's, I think they've managed to kind of capture the attention of a lot of kids, really, like, to be honest, like young teens, even some preteens, I think, play it quite a bit. And then Twitch, of course, which is a website and an app that people stream games. So like you could be playing a game and let people watch you play it. So there's all these famous streamers on Twitch who lots of young people love to watch play video games. And Fortnite's just sort of captured that. It's a really big deal on Twitch. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's just sort of captured the hearts and minds of young people in a lot of ways, some good and some, you know, maybe not so good too.
Well, I was reading an article in the New York Times. I think in one of your other articles, we referenced it about Fortnite. And I know that it is very popular for young people to watch other people playing this video games, you know, to get pointers and figure out how they can play the game better. But I know that's a big part of it as well. And it's put out by Epic Games, which is actually in North Carolina. I have randomly even been to their headquarters before. So should Christians play Fortnite? I would think that some Christian parents are a little bit concerned about this game. And so what is your advice? Should they let, you said some preteens play it? Should they let their preteen or teen play this game?
Yeah, I mean, I personally wouldn't let my preteen play it. You know, it is a violent game. I mean, it's the violence in this game is much less graphic than a lot of other games of similar type. So there's not blood, really. There's not, you know, things that you might expect in some of our more violent games, like decapitations or something. But it is a violent game. You're shooting other player, you know, in a virtual world, you're shooting other player characters with guns and hitting them with, you know, with hammers and whatnot. So that's one thing I think parents should just educate themselves about what content is in the game. Every parent should look into these things very closely. There's some great websites out there that will help you do this. You know, sites like Common Sense Media or Focus on the Family does some of this as well, that helps parents kind of get a grasp of what kind of content's in a game. So yeah, educate yourself about what's in it. And then I think, you know, it's the thing that concerns me, and I get into this in the article a little bit about Fortnite, is not so much the violence, actually, it's the reward loops that the game uses. So Fortnite is not the only game that does this, but it uses these sort of compulsion-driven reward systems that actually kind of reward you for checking in every day to play, in a way. Like, you're limited as to how much V-Bucks you can earn to spend on different in-game things based on how much you play. And so you got to check in every day to get those V-Bucks if you want to get them, unless you want to spend real-world money, which obviously that's something that parents need to be aware of too. Like, make sure whatever system or computer or whatever that your kid's playing this on, like if you're letting them play it, they don't just have free access to your credit card, right? But yeah, I think it just sort of encourages players to play every day and play kind of on the regular in a way that I think it's not super healthy, in my opinion. I think I'd rather people play games for intrinsic rewards, like, and Fortnite does offer some of those intrinsic rewards, like teamwork. Like, it's a great game for building teamwork. You're going to play, it's very social. It's an incredibly social game. So, I mean, those are some good things about it. I think for some older teens whose parents are okay with the content, it could be an okay way for them to spend their time and, you know, have fun with some friends, build some friendships and, you know, teamwork and problem solving skills. You know, video games can be very good for that sort of thing, for developing our brains. They're good for our critical thinking skills, developing critical thinking skills and those kinds of things. So there's some good stuff here. I just think we need to step back and ask, like, what's driving us to do anything? Like, what gets me to go check in every day and play this? Is it the teamwork? Is it the fun with friends? Those are valuable things, but is it just that I want to earn my V-Bucks so I can buy a new t-shirt for my in-game player, you know, or some new dance? And I'm not making this stuff up. Like, you buy dances for your character to do after, you know, like after you get a good win or something.
Like a victory dance type, yeah, of thing?
Right. Like flossing or something. You probably, if you have kids, you've heard of that dance. So you can buy one of these dances for your character to do after you win or after you get a nice kill or something, you know? So yeah, I just don't think that's a good reason to do something. And I don't like the idea of sort of kids getting hooked on that being what drives them to do something, to, you know, to play a game.
Well, I wanted to let some of our listeners know, maybe some parents that are listening to this, that Drew has also written an article. We did an episode back a little while ago regarding violence in video games. So if anyone wants to just do a more deep dive about that, they can go onto our website and look at the Postmodern Realities page. And Drew and I talked about that. He wrote an article for our print magazine.
Yeah, and it also gets into addiction, which is another, you know, I think that's the conversation around Fortnite. That's what parents are concerned about. They're not as, not that the violence isn't something to be worried about, but the parents I talk to who are fed up with Fortnite, and there are a lot of them, are fed up because they're like, my kid won't be quiet about it. Like, they constantly begging me to play and begging me to play more. And I think it is a game that kind of can cause problems in the home. And so if you let your, this is the biggest thing I would say to parents, like, if you're going to let your teenager play this, just make sure you work with them on setting good boundaries and good limits.
So I think those are some of the go-to concerns that parents have, right? Is a video game addictive, and is it too violent, and those kinds of things, which, like I said, we did a more deep dive onto those issues. But, you know, sometimes that would make some parents say, okay, then all video games are bad. My child can't play any video games. Are there any benefits for playing video games, and why should we allow our kids to play some video games?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I mentioned some before already, but there's plenty of, you know, I think what drives people, all of us really, to play video games is the fact that they're fun and they're rewarding in a way. And that, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. Like, I think fun is not something that God's opposed to, right? It's something that, in fact, the idea of fun is very much part of God's good creation. And games, I think, are foundational to that. I think we see play, the concept of play in the Bible. Play is free, it's fun, it's enjoyable. And in Genesis, when God creates, he says, of everything he creates, he says, it's good. And so I think there's a real sense in which God is enjoying himself in creation and saying to us that doing things that are enjoyable can be good, you know. And obviously, we also live in a broken world where we, you know, human beings have gotten really good at running with things that are enjoyable in a way that's really destructive. So there is a destructive side to that too, that we need to be very aware of. But yeah, there's plenty of benefits. There's lots of intrinsic rewards that can come from playing video games. We talked about some already, like the social aspect, playing with other people. They give us opportunities to bond around a common interest. And there's a real missional opportunity there where we can bond around a common interest. And hey, now we've built a relationship where we might begin to talk to that person about Jesus eventually. There's also, like we talked about earlier, that can be good for in moderation. Games in moderation are good for our brains. They teach us problem solving skills. They give us a sense of accomplishment. And of course, you know, you could say, well, that sense of accomplishment is in a virtual world and it doesn't matter. But nonetheless, like, they can be really good for our mental health. Games have been used pretty regularly in a lot of different mental health therapy in ways that have benefited a lot of people. So yeah, there's many benefits we could talk about video games. I think the key is just learning to enjoy them in moderation and learning to, you know, be thoughtful and think Christianly about how we engage them.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Drew Dixon, and he has written an online exclusive article for the Christian Research Journal, which is free at our website, equip.org, and it's called Summer Vacation, Kids and Video Games, Better Alternatives to Fortnite. We'd also like to invite you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. A subscription is $33.50, and you can subscribe at our website, equip.org. This is really important that you help us to continue to provide all this great free online content in the form of our online exclusive feature articles, book reviews, and film reviews, as well as help to support this free podcast, The Postmodern Realities, by partnering with us with a print subscription. And in addition, so many people come to our website, equip.org, to read all of those journal articles that we've had, the exclusive ones that are new as well as past content. And I'd also like to ask you in the month of June that you would help the Christian Research Institute end our fiscal year in a position of strength. So to support this podcast and all of the Christian Research Journal content, you can partner with us. You can find a link on the landing page of this episode at equip.org, and there we're offering for your gift of any amount a book called Of Games and God, A Christian Exploration of Video Games by Kevin Scutt, who has written for the Christian Research Journal before, and as I mentioned in this episode, you can read his article online as well as listen to a past Postmodern Realities podcast episode with him. And in this book, Kevin really gives a balanced and informed Christian evaluation of video games and video game cultures. And so he's encouraging readers to consider both, you know, cautions that he has about video games, as well as the promise and the benefit of this major cultural phenomenon. So I would encourage you to go to our website, equip.org. Well, we were just talking a few minutes ago about some good things that is a result of playing video games. So in this episode specifically, and in your article, we wanted to suggest to parents and families some better games for kids to play than Fortnite over the summer, because it's kind of a time where we get together with families or we have more downtime without homework and sports practices and so forth to engage in, you know, family activities. So what are some better games for kids to play than Fortnite?
Yeah. So, I mean, video games are such a huge industry, and board games are growing quite a bit too. And in the article, I make suggestions about half of them, games I encourage people to check out. Half of them are board games, half are video games, but it's such a massive industry. I mean, there really is so much out there to check out. And so we really just need to be better about like investigating this. But yeah, I think for video games, I would encourage people to check out, like Mario Kart. It's a great family, like multiplayer game that's really easy to learn. One of my favorite games is called Overcooked, where you have to work together to run a restaurant, essentially. And, you know, you and up to four other players can, you know, are handing each other ingredients, and one person's chopping up the onions and the other person's putting them in a pot to make onion soup and so on. And it's really a team building game. It's really like a team building exercise where you have to lean on each other, and it can be kind of frustrating, but in a good way, because it's like you have to learn to work with each other and not get frustrated with each other. I think that's one of the good things games offer us, is like challenges that frustrate us, but we have to learn to work through them and push past them. That can be, you know, really good exercises for us as human beings to learn how to work together. I really like this platformer game called Celeste. So when I say platformer, think like Mario or Sonic, that type of game. And it's this mountain climbing platformer about this girl that's trying to climb a mountain. And as she climbs the mountain, she's trying to overcome, you know, some issues that she has of self-doubt and anxiety. And so it's this very like affirming, positive message, I think, that the game has for teens, I think, would really benefit from that, especially teens who are going through some of that same stuff. Another video game I'll mention is Portal 2, which has a cooperative mode, which is like this physics-based puzzle game. So you're shooting these portals and jumping through them to solve puzzles. And the co-op mode is really tricky. A lot of great, like, tricky puzzles to think through. And it's also a pretty funny game. So I would recommend that for teens. But, I mean, there are so many games, really, we could talk about. I mean, the list could just go on and on. But it's just a matter of kind of searching them out and doing a little bit of research to make sure that you think these would be great for you and your family, or that they would fit your context and that you feel like they're appropriate for your kids. That's one thing I would always tell parents, is don't take mine or really anyone else's word for it. Like, do some of your own research and make sure these things are good for the context of your kids and your family.
Well, one thing that you mentioned is that not only do you list some video games, but you also suggest some board games. And I want to tell our listeners, if you're a newer listener, you might not know, 3 years ago, we did a podcast as well as an article that's free online at our website, called The Ethics of Modern Board and Card Games. So you might want to read that article or listen to that podcast. And then I'd also like to say that Drew just mentioned Overcooked, but there is kind of a board game version of that called Kitchen Rush. So you might want to put, if you like that idea of, you know, working together to get stuff out of the kitchen, but it is what's called a real-time game, so it can feel stressful to some people. Yeah. You're trying to complete all these things as a sand timer is running down. Yeah. But some people like that kind of just that franticness. It's kind of fun to work together as a team. So that one you can put, some families can put on their radar if they like that theme. But what about board games? What are some of the benefits of playing board games as a family?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I, because I actually work in student ministry curriculum, and I work in the student ministry at my church. And I think one of the great misconceptions that a lot of parents have that we fall into, this is what our culture tells parents of teenagers constantly. Our culture is telling parents of teenagers constantly, your kid doesn't want to hang out with you. And actually, if you look at the research, there's no one more important and influential in the lives of teenagers than their parents. Like, the opposite is actually true. Teenagers want to spend meaningful time with their parents, but it's hard because we feel like they're changing and they're, you know, they're going through puberty and all this kind of stuff. But like, board games give us an opportunity to sit around a table and spend focused time together face to face. We're not looking at a screen. We're looking at each other eye to eye, and we're either competing with each other around the same set of rules, which can be, I think, it's kind of like a special thing to do, or we're competing against the board. There's a lot of cooperative board games, and we're working together to solve problems. But board games force us to interact with each other. Like, we have to learn how to win with grace. We have to learn how to lose with grace. We have to learn how to, you know, work together. And there's a lot of ethics, even, I think, that kind of go into board games that give us opportunities to, you know, have these sort of ethical decisions we have to make in a safe environment because it's with our family around the same table. Yeah, there's really a lot. And I think in our day and age, when we're not playing video games or watching TV or something, we're on our phones, board games kind of require you to put your phone up and pay attention to one another. And so I think there's a real easy thing there for you to do with your teenager that will get their attention and will meet them on kind of on their terms in a lot of ways and on their level and give you an opportunity to connect in a meaningful way.
I think one other thing that board games does is it really helps develop strategic thinking, especially for kids who are very good at math and enjoy those kind of math puzzles. There's some board games now. I think a lot of people, and I think we say this in our article, when they think of board games, they think of board games of their youth, like Monopoly or Scrabble or these kind of games. But there's a lot of more complex, what's called European style games, where there's a lot of math and mechanisms and planning ahead and kind of almost like I would say chess, but with, you know, themes and those kinds of things. So if you have a student out there that's just, you know, really into math, some of these board games can be very challenging for them. So what are some board games that you'd recommend for families this summer?
So I think it kind of depends on the age of your kids, but I'll start young and maybe move up. So I'd highly recommend Rhino Hero for younger kids. As young as 4 and 5 and up could play Rhino Hero. It's kind of the opposite of Jenga. With Jenga, you have this tower that you're moving blocks on. With Rhino Hero, you're building a tower with cards. And if a card comes up with the Rhino Hero symbol on it, you take this little rhino figure, this little wooden rhino figure that looks like a superhero, and you have to place them on top of that card. So you're building this tower of cards. And, you know, of course, if somebody knocks it over, they lose. And whoever has the least amount of cards is the winner. So it's really simple, but really silly and fun. And anybody can play it. Like, I started playing it with my daughters when they were pretty young. So that's a great. And HABA makes that game. And basically, if you just go to HABA's website, H-A-B-A, HABA USA, and just kind of check out their lineup, they have a lot of great games for younger kids, for families. So then if you wanted to go a bit deeper, do something a little bit more complicated, I would encourage you to check out something like Pandemic, which is a cooperative game where you're trying to fend off the world from disease. There's this terrible plague that's hit the world and you've got to find the cure to it. So as a team, you each have a special ability. Everyone, I think it's up to 4 players, and you're all trying to work together to keep the disease from spreading while also trying to find the cure. And now there's also a game that's kind of similar to that called Commissioned from Kara Games. And it's a cooperative game that asks players to take on the role of the early Christian apostles. And so players work together to grow the church, collect books of the New Testament, overcome persecution, and mature people's faith. So it's really kind of the opposite of Pandemic, whereas with Pandemic, you're trying to stop the spread of disease. With this game, you're trying to spread, you know, the good news, essentially. And it's not just, you know, sometimes I think we worry about Christian games just sort of like throwing a Christian theme onto something and then not being that much fun. This is a fun game. It's really well made. It's really challenging, but it also, you know, you can learn some church history by playing. So that'd be a cool one to check out as well. But I mean, I could go on and on because board games are kind of in the midst of a renaissance right now. There's just so many more out there now than there used to be. There really is a great board game for everybody. Just do a little bit of research and you'll find some really great board games that would connect with whatever your kids are into.
I know. I do want to point out that one board game that you mentioned in your article is a board game called Scythe, and that would be great for teenagers, especially you know, teenagers that are gamers already. I've only played it one time and we were in the midst of learning it. And recently my teen son said, I want to play Scythe again. That, you know, it's just, you have to think ahead and you have to be really strategic, and it's got an interesting theme to it too. So recommend that one as well. And I know you kind of talk about it a bit.
Mm-hmm. That's my personal favorite board game. Like, if I get to choose what we're playing on game night, I'm getting Scythe out. It's really great. So it's pretty deep. It's pretty heavy. Like, if you don't play board games much or at all, like, don't start with Scythe. Don't make that be your first game that you buy as a family. You'll probably get discouraged. But yeah, if you have kids that are like wanting to get into some more strategy and kind of, you know, like the idea of these games where you have to think four or five moves ahead to really ensure that you have a good strategy to potentially win, it's great for that.
Well, I would like to say that the company that makes Scythe, Stonemaier Games, they have another game that's similar that starts teaching those mechanisms that's called My Little Scythe. Mm-hmm. And it's for younger kids, I'd say like 8 and up. And the theme is really cute. So instead of like more like battles of these like kind of mechs that they have in Scythe, it's like pie fights and you're making friends. And so I would suggest that. In fact, I suggested it to a family at our church and they have quite a few kids. And the mom says that her, I don't know, 8-year-old or something like loves that game. So if you guys are interested into it, some families for their older teens, maybe you should start, and you have kind of the range of kids in ages in your house. Start with My Little Scythe and then work your way up, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we have that one too. And my daughter, my almost 8-year-old, she loves it. So yeah, that's a great recommendation too. And another thing I would say to parents who are starting to get into some of these board games is, like, there's a lot of great resources on YouTube for this sort of thing. There's how to play videos where you can watch games played so you don't have to read. I find reading rule books, personally, I don't enjoy it. I find I learn best when I sit down and play the game or watch it played. And so there's a lot of that can be done online. So if you think like, oh, I don't want to read this rule book, but I want to get my kids into playing games, I want to play games as a family, there's a lot of ways to learn to play board games that are more visual and less kind of tedious. I like to read. I just don't like to read rule books. So
I'm not good at reading rule books. They remind me of math problems or something, but I know some people love it. I guess it just depends. I know some people who find that really relaxing to read rule books.
Right. Yep.
I find it more stressful personally. And I agree with you that there are some great resources, and I'll just mention a couple that are run by Christians, and so they're family friendly. So not all the channels, I would say, are family friendly, but if Christian families are looking for some YouTube resources, I'd mention the Dice Tower. It's probably been around the longest. It's run by a pastor and former missionary who full-time plays board games. And so they've got thousands. I think they have more than 10,000 videos on their site. Mm-hmm. There's also another YouTube channel called Tantrum House, and it's run by several couples, and they're all Christians as well. And then the last one I'll mention is a channel called Game Boy Geek with Dan King, and he's also a Christian. And I mentioned say that all of their content is, you know, family friendly. Now, I know that Dan King and one of the guys from the Dice Tower, who's a youth pastor, who's kind of also plays games full time, Sam Healy, they do have a podcast that's very infrequent called Dice Steeple, and it's about board game issues for Christians. So people can look that up on iTunes. I do think it's really super infrequent. I don't know that they come out with episodes very frequently. So I'd mention those three.
Yeah. And we at Love Thy Nerd have a weekly Facebook Live show called Beard Bros. And I know that's a funny name, but the reason it's called Beard Bros is because the two guys that do it both have sizable beards, we'll say. They do reviews of board games. So if you're, you know, want to check out Love Thy Nerd, just search for Love Thy Nerd on Facebook, and if you like Love Thy Nerd, you'll get some notifications of when it's every Friday. But that would be a good way to kind of keep up with some of the newer games that are coming out. They review them, kind of talk about what's good about those games. And they're, you know, obviously it's from a Christian worldview perspective. And then also on Saturdays on the weekend, we have a show called Co-optional, where one of the Beard Bros, his name's Matt Warmbier, and his wife, they play a game together online and actually stream it to Facebook. So it's a Facebook live show where they stream a game, and you can watch one of the, it's usually one of the games they reviewed and Beard Bros. So they'll take one of those games and then you can watch it play. And they usually give one away too. So that's kind of a cool thing. Like you could potentially win a free board game for your family, which would be fun.
Well, actually, yeah. And Love Thy Nerd, so people know, you guys also cover video games, where the resources that I mentioned on YouTube, the Dice Tower, they also have their own websites, Game Boy Geek and Tantrum House. They're all just doing board games exclusively. So if people have questions about Christians and issues with video gaming, then definitely you're going to want to head on over to Love Thy Nerd and check that out. So how might board games and video games be leveraged for mission? Because you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that there's some ways in which these kind of activities together can be missional. So how would gaming be missional?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think like we live in this really divided world, and it feels like it's becoming more divided, like politically, socially. You know, there's division in our country over racial lines. There's division in our culture over worldview and religion. And it can start to feel like it's just really hard to ever spend time in a meaningful way with anyone who's not kind of just like you. I think it can feel that way for a lot of people. And gaming provides us a common vernacular, a shared interest around which we can enjoy something together. And so it's like I have a game night, a board game night at my house every other week. And there's people of different religions that come to that. There's people who are not religious at all that come. And the reason they want to come to my house is because they like to play games, right? Like, so there's this opportunity to hang out around a shared interest and build a friendship, build a relationship, which I think is really crucial to, effective missions in our day and age. And I think we see that with Jesus. Like I got into this in a previous article I wrote, but, Jesus ate meals with sinners and tax collectors. You know, he was known for eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors. So I think there's a picture there for us to follow of figuring out ways to spend time with people in meaningful ways. And games provide us that opportunity. I think it really is as simple as that. So, and even if you're not into games, like it just may seem like this completely foreign language to you. And you're just like, I don't get it. And I don't really want to get it. Challenge to you, if that's you, is just to try to be openly curious about it. Just ask questions. There's some nerds in your life who are really into board games or video games that you could just be genuinely curious about why they're into those things, why they like to play board games, why they like to play video games, and just talk to them about it. And hey, there's an opportunity to build a relationship, and then an opportunity to hopefully to share the hope of Christ with those people as well. So
I wouldn't consider myself a gamer at all. I definitely don't play any video games, but I do enjoy playing board games for those reasons, just because there's a sense of community. And recently, our monthly board game group died when two of our friends moved to Planet Church in the UK. So, I've been wanting to try to find out if I could find anyone who wanted to game. And just through a neighborhood app, I just said, hey, does anyone in this area want to play board games? And a bunch of people said, yeah, I'd be really interested in that. Or I used to, but then I moved to your state and I don't anymore. So we're going to start our first game night coming up in a couple of weeks. And that'll be interesting because I don't think they're religious at all. It's just random, you know, people that live in my area. So that will be very interesting to see who shows up and what they're like. And you're right. We are so divided, but one of those things where we can come together to have fun and start conversations is just over doing an activity together, playing a game together, which normally you wouldn't get together, just random people you know in that kind of a context. Mm-hmm. And so, I just think it's a good thing, like you were saying, just to think about it. And mainly, too, because I would say most kids have had exposure to video games for sure, and they have played a video game. And so how might parents engage their kids in the games that they're playing? So even if you're not into it, how can you enter into this interest that your kid might have?
Right. Yeah. Ask lots of questions. And I think sometimes as Christian parents, like, we ask questions to our kids the wrong way. Like, we ask them a question, but really what we're trying to do is get them to say what we want them to say. Like, so an example would be is like, why do you like those awful violent video games? You see, that's a question where you're like fishing for them to admit that there's something not good about what they're doing. But no, ask like questions and be open to what they have to say. So why do you like Fortnite? Just ask that question and honestly listen to them. Listen to what they have to say. Watch what they play. I think that's another big thing. Like, sit down on the couch with them while they play or whatever. Figure out ways to play games with them, whether it's board games or video games. But find games you can play together. You'd be surprised at how that would make your child feel loved if they just knew you were willing to, like, be goofy. And I mean, you may be terrible at it and that's okay. Like, but I think that would go a long way to making your child, especially if they're really into that type of thing, feel like you care about them. It's really hard to love people if we take zero interest in the things that they're interested in. I mean, I think it's a really like simple way to show care for somebody is to be genuinely curious about what they're into, take a genuine interest in it, and meet them where they're at. Now, and I'm not saying, of course, that we don't need to speak into something, you know, that you may, as you watch your kids play games, you might find that they're playing something that really is not appropriate for their age and it's really, they're not handling it well, or they have an unhealthy relationship. And of course, you need to step in and say, hey, I think you have an unhealthy relationship here. Let's set some boundaries. Let's be more thoughtful about how we handle this. Maybe even get rid of some games because they're not appropriate for your kids. So of course we need to do all those things, but I think also if we'll just be genuinely curious, genuinely interested and play with them, I think those are some really simple things we can do to begin engaging them.
I think that's a question that parents have, right? How do you figure out what your kids are playing and how, you know, if we want to take an interest in the interest of our kids, especially since most of them are involved in gaming in some way, what can parents do to be better informed and educated about the games that their kids are playing or they want to play? Like, oh, everyone's playing, you know, this game. Mom, can I play this game? How do we find out more about these games that they're playing? Because it, like you said, for some parents, and, you know, we didn't grow up playing as many video games. I mean, maybe we did like Pong or Space Invaders or something really old school, right? So we don't know what's out there now. And so how do we, you know, intelligently figure out what our kids are playing?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, lovethynerd.com is a good place to go to get some resources, but there's also Family Friendly Gamer. There's lots of other great resources. There's a great book called A Parent's Guide to Video Games by Dr. Rachel Cohort. I had her on this podcast that I do called Humans of Gaming that I do through Love Thy Nerd. Go listen to that podcast. Look up Humans of Gaming and search for the episode with Dr. Rachel Cohort. And that'd be a good place to start. But it's not a Christian website, but I think Common Sense Media does a really good job of informing parents. And you can read reviews by parents. So they have reviews where they kind of go through, here's the content in this game, here's what you should be aware of, just so you know that this is what's in this game. And then they also have parent reviews where you can see what another, you know, a fellow parent who's in the trenches of parenting, trying to raise children, can give you their perspective on various games. And it's pretty comprehensive. I mean, you can find reviews to most everything there. And it's just a really easy way to inform yourself about what's going on in this digital world that's ever expanding. So, yeah.
And I also want to say that they do a lot of movie reviews too. So if you're wondering, my kid wants to see X movie, what's in it? They'll just kind of give you the breakdown. Yeah. Just the facts, the data, like, okay, it's rated R or PG-13 for these reasons. So that is a good resource. Another thing I want to let our listeners know about that I mentioned earlier is that Drew has written a couple of other articles for us. One was on the video game addiction, but he also wrote one about Comic-Con. So kind of the nerd conventions, whether they're anime conventions or gaming video or board gaming conventions or some of those specialized Star Wars, Star Trek kind of conventions. He wrote an article about us, about how that can really fit into the mission of Christ. So I wanted to ask Drew a little bit about that and also maybe what is one of his favorite conventions that he's attended.
Yeah, so one of the things the organization I work for, Love Thy Nerd, does is we actually go to comic cons and nerd conventions, video game conventions, board game conventions, and do missions there. So we go there and build relationships with people and try to look for ways to point people to Christ. So you can actually come with us. If you're interested in going on a nerd mission trip, you can come with us. Just go to lovethynerd.com, click on the Reach tab at the top, and you'll get some information about how you could join us in doing that. But yeah, I think going to these types of conventions is a great mission opportunity because you get to go into a place where people are excited to talk about the things that they're into. So immediately you're stepping into a place where you're going to have common interests with people. You're going to have things to talk about, things to, you know, geek out about and have a good time with people. And those are great opportunities to build relationships with people. And you know, some of the people, I don't want to stereotype too much, but some of the people that go to these conventions, part of the reason they're there is because they're a little bit lonely in their fandom. You know, they don't have friends in their hometown or in their church that are into these things that they're into or in whatever area that they live. And so these conventions give us an opportunity to celebrate those things and enjoy them together and build a relationship. And that's how we ought to be, I think, doing evangelism, is building relationships with people, loving people, meeting them where they're at. And so, yeah, we really encourage people to think about that and think about coming with us, because we'll also train you to do what we do. You know, we won't just set you out there in the world to figure it out. We'll give you some resources and some training on how to do that well. My personal favorite nerd convention is probably Gen Con, which is a board gaming convention in Indianapolis. It's the largest board gaming convention in the United States. So there'll be, I don't know, 60,000 people, which is small compared to some of the comic cons. I mean, some of the comic cons have upwards of like almost 150,000 people, but it's huge. And it's all about board games and tabletop role-playing games, that kind of thing. And I love it because everybody there is game to play a game, you know, everybody there is excited to play board games together. And so it's really easy to make friends and build relationships with people. And it's also a great way to go and learn about some cool new board games and have people teach them to you, you know, so that you don't have to read those rule books like we talked about. So yeah, that's my favorite.
I think some of these conventions can seem a little odd to parents. So I would just encourage parents, like we were talking about earlier, when you game with your kids, to enter into those kinds of things with them. For example, mm-hmm. my youngest son and I went to a board game convention in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. And you're right, everyone's just ready to play a game. So we were walking around trying to figure out what we should do. So we were only there the first night for a little while. And we saw these guys, you know, kind of looking like they were setting up, and they had a sign players wanted. And so we just asked them, hey, do you mind if we come and play a game with you? Which ended up being really interesting and fun. It's called Victorian Masterminds, and it just won the Mensa Select Award, one of the games that won that this year. And they taught it to us. And it turns out these two guys are podcasters. So their names are Rick and Ryan, and they have this podcast, One Board Family, and they happen to be Christians too. That just came up in the context, like they met through church or something like that. So it's just really interesting, and people were welcoming and friendly. And I know that my older son, when he was younger, he was into anime. So when he was a senior in high school, he and some of his friends wanted to go, and I took them to an anime convention and they went for the day. So it might seem really weird to parents, but it's a way that you can do something together. And I also want to say some of the other YouTube channels that we were talking about that have Christians that kind of head up those channels, Tantrum House specifically and the Dice Tower, they have conventions too, and they are very family friendly. I did end up going to the Tantrum House convention. It was their first one. It was really small. It was really great, and they had a good gaming library. And then the Dice Tower, I know, has two. They have one in the summer in Orlando area, and then they have one that they just started in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are good ways in which you as a family can go and game together, or as a family go and check out anime or manga that's there, or different events that they have at these conventions. So it might seem kind of weird if you yourself, especially if the parents. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to parents? If parents aren't into nerddom and all of a sudden your kid's into Marvel or Star Wars or something like that, I would think this is a good way to kind of do something they would be interested in.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things I would encourage parents to do, too, is go check out lovethynerd.com, because we have a lot of articles that help parents kind of get their minds around some of this stuff. So an example of that would be just this last week, we published an article called How to Get Started with Anime. So there's probably people listening to this going like, what is anime? Are they talking about like cartoons? So when we say anime, we're talking about Japanese animation, and it's a big deal. There's entire conventions devoted to celebrating the world of Japanese animation. And it's different. It's pretty different from like, you know, Disney kind of stuff. You know, it's a different sort of, it's a whole different beast. So, you know, that article would give you some grounding. And we have lots of articles like that at Love Thy Nerd. Like we have these articles about different areas of nerd culture. So like, why do board games matter? We have an article on that. We have an article on why Dungeons and Dragons matters. And that would help you understand. There's a lot of misinformation out there about Dungeons and Dragons. A lot of Christians are kind of fearful of it. So that would give you some insight into that. We have all different types of things in nerd culture. Why do they matter? And yeah, that would give you some insight. But then, yeah, just making the effort to go to a Comic Con or a video game show or a board game show with your kid, it's going to stretch you. You're going to think some of it's weird if you're not part of that culture. Some of it may even bother you. But if you go with them with an open mind, you're going to see some really cool things. And you're going to realize there's a lot of creativity. There's some things to be concerned about for sure and to be aware of, but there's also, you know, truth and beauty and goodness that's to be found there and to be celebrated because, you know, all these things that we see at these nerd conventions are made by people who are made in God's image. And so we're going to see something of God's truth and beauty and goodness reflected in the creations of people in these spaces. And they're worthy of us being really curious about.
And I also want to let people know if they haven't, again, if you're new to the podcast and you haven't been listening, back on episode 104, we did talk about anime. It's called Unpacking Anime's Thematic and Spiritual Depth. And we also have a feature article about that on our website, ecook.org. Both of those are free. And then also, we have an article coming up on Dungeons and Dragons this summer, as well as an in-depth podcast on the topic at the beginning of July. So you won't want to miss out on that either. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Drew. So it's summertime. If you're grilling burgers or hot dogs?
Burgers.
What's another favorite video game that you did not mention in this article?
Oh, another one that I did not mention in this article. One of my favorite games of all time is a game called That Dragon Cancer. So this would not be a game to play... like if you're just wanting something happy-go-lucky, it's pretty heavy, but it's made by a Christian family. And it's about how they lost their son to cancer, but it's really powerful. It's a really powerful emotional game that I think teaches us a lot of empathy and you know, is rooted in a hopeful Christian worldview, despite the difficult subject matter.
So maybe for older teens.
Yeah. I would not necessarily recommend it for younger kids, but for older teens, it could be a powerful experience for them and bring up some important conversations for them to have with you. Yeah.
What about another favorite board game that you think families would enjoy?
My current favorite game is Architects of the West Kingdom. So if you're wanting something that's a little heavier, but not quite as heavy as Scythe, but something that's got some good strategy to it, but is pretty easy to learn, Architects of the West Kingdom is really fun.
And Star Wars or the Marvel Universe?
Oh, that's tough because I feel like the Marvel Universe has really been doing a good job lately, but Star Wars is my first love.
Well, Drew, thanks for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was great.
Today's guest has been Drew Dixon, and he has written an exclusive online article at our website, ecook.org. It's called Summer Vacation Kids and Video Games, Better Alternatives to Fortnite. It's completely free for you to read. And we'd also like to make sure that you've subscribed to the Christian Research Journal. You can do that if you haven't already by going to our website, ecook.org. It's $33.50. And when you subscribe, you're going to help support this free podcast for us to continue bringing it to you, as well as all that other free online content that's exclusive to our website from the Christian Research Journal, book reviews, film reviews, and other feature articles. And we'd like to ask you to please consider giving a donation this month to help us end our fiscal year in a position of strength. And for this episode, we're offering a book called Of Games and God, A Christian Exploration of Video Games by Kevin Scutt, who has written for us in the past. And actually, you're not going to want to miss out on this offer because this book is actually out of print, and we got a few of the remaining copies from Kevin. And so please support this podcast by getting this book. It's a thought-provoking read, and you won't want to miss out on it. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Anagraph, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. And please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Anagraph, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.